Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about the hagfish, billed as the most disgusting creature in the sea, possibly even on the entire earth. I know a certain number of disgusting creatures, and what better to podcast about than a disgusting, disgusting creature? I must admit, I had heard about it, read a few odd facts about it, but then I had a good old research of it, mostly on Wikipedia, but on different sources for it, and got a general profile of this particularly amazing, amazing creature. So what's it like? Well, the closest thing that you'll ever come across, if you're a landlubber, to something which is like a hagfish, is a sort of a wild extension on a totally different evolutionary branch of a leech. And leeches are segmented worms, so they're segmented. The hagfish isn't segmented. But the leech is pretty similar to the hagfish in being leathery. It's different to the hagfish because leeches have a back foot and they actually inch their way forward. But they also have, they don't have jaws. Leeches don't have jaws. And they use their raspy triangular jaws, in actual fact, to actually cut through the skin and drink blood. So in terms of what it looks like, in terms of being a long thing, a hagfish is like a leech, but a leech that you can't possibly imagine. Now, in terms of evolutionary terms, the hagfish has sort of fallen through evolutionary history, 300 million years old, easily 300 million years old. So all life forms, all multicellular life, is only 500 million years old. So it's very ancient. Fish, and it could be even more ancient than that. So the oldest fossil of a hagfish is 300 million years old, and the amazing thing is that that fossil from 300 million years ago looks pretty much like a modern day hagfish. So let's introduce ourselves to what the hagfish is. So the hagfish is anywhere from about 10, 20 centimetres long to half a metre long, or 50 centimetres long, and they're thick. They are sort of, how do you describe it? They've got a leathery skin, they're called slime eels. They've got a leathery, loosely fitting skin. So the skin is a loosely bag around them. It's only hooked or connected through a few things. They're slime organs, I've given that away with them, and a strip of connecting their spring, their skin to the back of their body. And there's a few surprising things. So if you were to hold it, and hold a dead one for instance, you'd feel this sort of hard sort of bag, of leathery bag, and it's slime, it's gooey inside. It's got an outer skin, but it's a loose skin. It's not like our skin, which is tight and held around ourselves. It's a skin more like a bag inside of it. And indeed, it's an ancient animal. It's an animal which has survived before the evolution of backbones. So it's before the evolution of brains, in actual fact. So instead of a backbone, it's just got a spinal cord. So we are pretty much similar to that in terms of we have a spinal cord sitting in a cage behind our backbone. So that's an important thing to note. With us, our spinal cord isn't in the center of our backbone. We have a chordata, or cord, and essentially all the hagfish is a spinal cord with a raised, what we call a forebrain. This is sort of a development of our spinal cord, and a little bit of a lump on top of that, whereas we've got a very sophisticated series of lumps and coils and bits of cauliflower. We've got a parabellum, a cerebellum, and all these features. Hagfish has none of that. It's only got a few little lumps. So it doesn't really have a brain, and it doesn't have a really skull. It's got a sort of a cartilage case around the end of its brain. So it's from a period of history before we go from spinal cords and the brains are beginning to develop. And this is a few things about it. So it doesn't have eyes. It has early developmental evolutionary. It's like a fossil, a living fossil, which has survived 300 million years. And so it's not like a segmented worm. It is, in fact, a one segment organism all complete together. It's got just a spinal cord but no backbone. It's got a few lumps in the head but no real defined brain. It's got a few features, but the brain hasn't developed yet. And it's also, when I say yeah, it's from a stage of evolution where the brain hasn't developed. And instead of eyes, it's got little sockets which are light sensitive, so it can sense light, but it can't form an image. Can sense where light is coming from, and of course it has senses of smell and other things to go and find its prey. And so if you can imagine a hagfish, if you were to squeeze it, you could actually, it's like squeezing this sausage with no brain inside. And of course it's very sinuously and stuff like that. We can't really go past a hagfish without describing its main defense. So basically, if you've got a swimming sausage that's super young for other fish would easily eat it up. So it must have a killer defense, and it does have a killer defense. Through 100 pores on the side of its body, it ejects basically a cupful of slime, super slime. And so this is a tangle of long molecules, so like a jelly or a slime. And I'm interested in it because it's got nanotubules in it, to go like that. So this is the stuff of DNA and stuff like that. All of our cells is membranes and fibers. Membranes and fibers, the DNA is a fiber. It's got sort of a fibrous slime. And this slime is a pretty fantastic slime. It comes out. And it's called a viscoelastic slime. So it's slimy, but if you try and struggle in it, it becomes more elastic, a bit like oobleck. So it's got all these unusual properties that people want to use, apparently for armor and spider silkweb. So it's fantastic material. So if you're a predator and you decide, I'd like to eat this hagfish for lunch, It suddenly ejects this slime, and this slime expands massively in volume once it contacts water. Obviously, it's in the sea, it contacts water, and so it produces 20 liters. That's a fairly sized, large suitcase of slime, and sort of 20 liters of slime being injected into a predator's mouth, and it is not a sort of thick slime. It's actually floats in the water and gets into the gills and actually shuts down the gills of your predator, and your predator will just simply suffocate. Now, so in general, it's a defense mechanism, but it's also used when some of these species of hagfish are predatory. They can actually, I've forgotten the name of the fish, a fish which is in burrows, it will go down in a burrow and actually inject the slime, suffocate the fish, eat the fish. It's a pretty amazing story. So they're sort of, when I say a leech, it's similar to a leech in terms of its food, like a leech's food, is moving about. It's warm, it's moving, it's something. Or it's, in case of hagfish, they tend to eat whales and things like that. So what is going on there? Now, this is where I go to my interest, my culinary interest in hagfish. I don't think anyone wants to actually eat a hagfish because it's sort of rather leathery and ugh. But the slime is apparently used in Korea as a something similar to egg white. And of course, I immediately think, well, what a fantastic thing. You bring your little fish along, and how they do it is they simulate a predator. They get the hagfish, keep it, and they shake it. And they shake it, and it produces all the slime. They scoop up the slime and bake it. And I think, oh, well, this is fantastic. What do we do with egg whites in Australia? We make this famous egg white, fluffy egg white and cream cake. A very sort of, it's almost like the icing, it's a cake of pure icing and sugar. And it's called a pavlova. So I'd like to, the idea of a hagfish pav. But let's get back into this fish. And there's some, I've seen deadliest 30 or whatever it is, deadliest whatever, six deadly 60 or whatever of species is the hagfish. Or I've seen a few documentaries where people actually pick up the hagfish on a boat and it all juices out heaps and heaps of slime. So it's the most gross thing, a sort of imagine a super slimy fish injecting stuff. So it's got no eyes, it's got no brain, it's got no backbone, it's just a chordia. So a chordite, it's actually just got not a backbone, but a spinal cord. Just a spinal cord and not much brain. It's a bit like the Bionicles used to have these chordia, these sort of little spinal cords with little brains on the end of them. So it's sort of a pretty amazing thing to think that the spinal cord sort of evolved first, and the brain was a sort of a bit of an afterthought on the development of a spinal cord to go through. So it's a window into evolution, a sort of a living piece of evolution just walking or swimming around. But there's more to the hagfish, which really amazes me. So one of the things that when it's caught in a predator's stuff, it's actually got to get itself out of its own slime and to swim away. And the way it does that is it ties itself in a knot and uses the fact that it's sliding through its own knot to actually free itself of its own slime. So if you can sort of imagine that, it's a pretty amazing thing that you've got a fish and you've bitten it, it's now slimed itself, and it can actually then just ooze out of its own slime by tying itself into a knot and using the knot of its own body, sliding on top of itself to actually cleanse itself of its own slime and swim free. So sort of a pretty amazing stuff. Now, although I've read somewhere that it's got two external gills, I've also read elsewhere that it's internal, it's got an internal mouth intake, and this mouth intake goes through a series of 5 to 13 pairs of gills, 5 to 15 pairs of gills inside it, and there's a system of gills and liquid going through it. So that's pretty weird that it's on the inside. But it doesn't have a mouth. It's one of these jaws. It does have a mouth, but it's jawless. And so it's got two rows of horizontal, so two rows of vertical teeth. Not, you know, we've got teeth arranged in a horizontal arrangement. This has got a vertical arrangement. And it uses this to actually munch its way into its prey. And does digest a bit through its a bit of a tract, but it is in fact it starts to digest from outside its body. Nutrients go through its skin, so this sort of variation, this diffuse digestive tract, is something of more primitive animals where there's no strong digestive tract. So how does it feed? It comes up to a whale. What does it do? Well, a dead whale has fallen onto the ocean floor, and the hagfishes come out in their thousands to actually devour and clean the ocean floor. So it's sort of like the vultures or carrion eaters. It's the fish version of a vulture. It's also similar to worms, that we put waste in the soil and worms come out and eat their way through it in a slightly different way. Now, the thing is that they have to two things eat their way in, and so they can eat their way in, or they can find a hole in the whale, its eyes or its mouth or its anus, and it'll just slip in through its anus and start to eat the whale from the inside, from its bum. It's a pretty amazing thing. Or it can eat its way through, and I suppose one of the things that it can do is it eats its way through, and it does a reverse locking knot on the inside, so it can get inside, still hanging out, and you can't pull it out because it's actually eaten its way and knotted itself inside, and it just goes in there and has a great time. Now, I suppose the more scary thing is that if something's wounded or disabled or not moving properly, it can actually go in and start to eat something which is just between life and death. As it's dying, the hagfish can move in and start to invade. So if you're a sick whale and you're just or sick any shark, for instance, and you're just feeling a bit under the weather and you start to rest on the bottom of the ocean floor, it's hard to think of sharks actually doing that. Incidentally, sharks have to keep on moving to keep the water going through their gills. But so say if you did rest, these fish, the hagfish, can emerge in their hundreds, swim towards you and start to eat you a bit. And normally if it starts to eat you, you can swim away. But say if you can't swim away, they'll go inside and start to go inside and actually get inside and actually eat you alive. It can, while you're still alive, it can just probe your bottom and go inside it and actually start eating you from the inside. It's a pretty amazingly disgusting thing. And of course, if you went out to rip it away from you, it would just produce this huge amount of saliva and your hand would fit out, pull out, or if you tried to pull it out, it would have knotted itself inside you. Or if you finally caught one as it was going towards you, it would slime and slip out of its own slime in a knot. So then you have to ask yourself, how does it interact with humans? This is something, you know, we don't know too much about, besides reading about what does it do. Well, the thing is that we do create a lot of injured fish which can't swim away when we net fish. So deep sea trawling can have a problem that a lot of their catch can be actually eaten by hagfish. The hagfish are around, have learnt how that these deep sea nets come along. I mean, they haul it up, their prey can be, their catch can be full of hagfish, which are just going hell for leather, just killing and eating all the fish before we catch it up. So sometimes they can pull up from the ocean floor a catch, and the catch will be largely ruined because there'll be all these hagfish in them. So it's one of these sort of nightmare-y things, which is somehow strangely attractive. And it's attractive because it's got the science of slime, the science of topology of knots going through. It's got a whole lot of molecular science where the slime expands, and it's got nanotubules or tubules inside it connecting it together. It's sort of all these thousands of little things. It's got evolution happening. It's just a rather than actually going back to the fossil records and saying what happened there, you've got a living example of it. That's before the bones evolved and the bony protection. It's really at the very early stages of the evolution of a brain. These are quite sophisticated creatures. They've got behaviours. I assume they can learn and stuff like that, but there's not much of a brain there. There's not the sophisticated, highly folded brain in a metal, in a case. It's not there. So in so many aspects, the hagfish is a sentinel of science. It's sort of like looking back into history and you see this glowing lighthouse, and it's not so far in the past, it's in the present, and it's got all these fantastic things. Look, and there's other fantastic, if it fires slime, I'm in. And so there's a few insects, slime firing insects, various uses of slime to win the day. But the hagfish for me is some sort of fantastic thing that if I can read about it, the more I read about it, the more I admire the idea that you may be dying in the water and as a fish, and you know the end has come when the hagfish start to probe you and start to enter you and eat you from the inside. Or if you're a caught fish, you're a bycatch. Or I suppose the hagfish are a bycatch. They don't want to harvest hagfish. And look, the story is now that people are actually harvesting and eating hagfish because that's what's left. We've eaten all the top predators, all the barramundi and the marlin and stuff like that. And now we've got a world full of jellyfish and hagfish. Beautiful, beautiful idea. Great thing to think about. podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.